This message entitled, Anybody Ready for a New Year? Was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on December 27th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 2, 21-40.
And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Dear Lord, we gather now our hearts before you. We desire to hear from your Spirit as you make clear from this section of the gospel story, Lord, who this Jesus really is and what you are intending to do with him now that he has been brought to this world and starts out as this child, as this baby, but you have much more in mind for him. And that is generally made clear. That is prophetic. You are very open about it, that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And we want to thank you, dear God, for that salvation. You are worthy to be praised, dear God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Ran across an illustration the other day, and it speaks of 4-year-old Jared Miller of Toledo, Ohio, and his 3-year-old sister. Now, I know you probably always thought that when I tell these stories and more than half the boys are named Johnny, that I'm making up the names. As it turns out, these names sound awfully familiar, okay? You got your Jared Miller of Toledo, Ohio, and you got your 3-year-old sister, and her name isn't given, but sure sounds like that couple of kids that they were playing it was Christmas time, and they were playing, traveling to Bethlehem, okay? And she was Mary, and he was Joseph, you know, in their playing, in their thinking. But he was also very much interested in things like Roy Rogers, the cowboy, all right? And she, of course, had doll babies, and he had a, you know, six-shooter he had just gotten for Christmas and so forth. But they're mixing the two stories. They're putting it together, and you'll recognize this just as soon as they mention it. But they've started to put the two stories together, you know, and you can almost hear the little boy trying to sound like John Wayne or something, or well, to be more specific, Roy Rogers, and make his way to Bethlehem. And, you know, he's got his six-shooter to protect everybody and so forth. And she's got her doll, who, of course, is now going to be playing Jesus in their playtime. But seems to me these are the same kids, the same names. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, these probably aren't all made up. These stories that we have of these kids and their names and so forth, they're probably real. And somebody submitted them, used their names, and praise God. You know, it's not just some made-up Johnny, right? His name's Jared. All right, okay. Well, the little boy is explaining the manger scene to his sister, and he says, that's the baby Jesus, and this is his mommy, and this is his daddy, and all those other people, they're his aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas. Now, you know, technically, that's not who they are. It's the wise men and the shepherds and so forth, okay? But that's the child's view, okay? And I want to suggest to you that it's really a good view. It's really an accurate assessment of the situation. Because even though Mary and Joseph were like 90 miles away from home, there's a sense in which the grandmas and the grandpas and the aunts and the uncles are right there with them. I mean, not physically speaking, but in their minds and in their hearts, the family is with them while they're going through this rather unique situation of having a baby in a manger. It's a vision of a child. Christmas is family. Sure, people can go off with all kinds of other ideas, but that doesn't make it clear, or that doesn't clarify, I should say, I guess, who is really the family. Jesus said, who are my family? Remember? And he said, it's those that do what I say. You know, it's not just mom, you know, and brothers and sisters and so forth. Family is those that you know, desire him and that believe in him and so forth. So if we stay together on this thing and we believe God's word and we believe God's truth, we have a true family gathered at Christmas. True family, okay? And yeah, it's different people, literally and physically, shepherds and wise men and so forth, but there's a very real sense in that it's family from back home who are with them in spirit, okay, while they are there physically down in Bethlehem. In the midst of pessimism, gloom, and frustration of the present hour, we are not to wring our hands. You know what he means. You know, to wring our hands like, I can't hardly think about making it through this thing. This is a terrible situation. And see, that's what we have going on now. We've got people that are just seeing all this stuff we're going through, whether it's, you know, so-called election fraud, or whether it's COVID, or whether it's, you know, any other difficulty that is going on in the world. We just kind of wring our hands to it and go, this is just so terrible. This is just so horrible. Well, wait a minute. If God has allowed for these things to be there, I'm not saying they're necessarily fun things or, you know, happy things or anything like that, but if God has allowed it, that means he's wanting to use it to get us to see our need for him. So God's got a purpose in these things, okay? Now, this illustration today is in the midst of pessimism, gloom, and frustration of the present hour, we are not to wring our hands. Now, right away, we read that one sentence and we think, this is something current. This is from current events. No, this is from years ago. This illustration was written years ago and by Billy Graham. In the midst of pessimism, gloom, and frustration, this is long before COVID, long before close elections, long before anything else that we see as, you know, this is terrible, this is horrible, long before that. Actually, when you really think about it, there's really nothing so new under the sun. The angel said to the frightened shepherds, "Fear not, fear not." Jesus says, "Fear not. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again." The cradle, the cross, and the crown are but three acts in God's grand cosmic plan of the ages. Several years ago, Billy Graham wrote a story, I guess you could say, a gospel story, in a little pamphlet. I meant to bring it to at least show it to you. But it's called just that, The Cradle, the Cross, and the Crown. And he follows the whole story all the way through, you know, the story of Jesus and everything that he was all about, okay? And throughout the Christmas season, I've been using illustrations from that. Christmas Eve, I used, at least three or four different illustrations. And I was talking about this family coming to Christmas. And lo and behold, I had a quote from not everybody in the family, but I had a quote, at least one quote from a lot of people that are in the Graham family. And all of it points to how they saw the truth of Christmas. They saw the things that Jesus coming in the first place was actually going to purchase for all of us. The cradle, the cross, and the crown are but three acts in God's grand cosmic plan of the ages. Acts 1 was that first Christmas when God entered history in a new way in Jesus Christ. Act 2, at the cross, God solved the sin problem by Jesus Christ when he shed his blood for our sins. And Act 3, which is yet to come, God will bring the world peace that men yearn for through Jesus Christ. However, it's not likely to look like the peace that people think they want. Do you remember what Jesus said about that? He said, "I came to bring you peace, okay? But not the peace that the world gives. It's a different kind of peace. The peace Jesus is talking about is a reconciliation with a holy God. It's not just, oh, I feel so nice. I feel so peaceful, you know? I got this thought going through my head and that thought going through my head, and it's a very peaceful thing, very peaceful time, okay? But that's not what peace is in the Bible. Peace is a reconciliation with a holy God, amen? So that's what he's saying. God will bring the world peace that men are yearning for, and only they don't know what it is they're yearning for. They think this is peace. This other thing that everybody's looking for, you know, no war, no problems. Guess what? This world is going to have that till the end. There's going to be problems. There's going to be stuff. There's going to be rumors of war. There's going to be all kinds of conflicts and so forth for, you know, until it's over. Until it's over. Why? Because we live in a sinful world. Amen? You see, that all came about through sin. You know, disease, suffering, death, it all came because sin came into the world. Praise God. And Billy Graham says, and that's all going to happen through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 1, 2, and 3. You see, we can not only use this dynamic to look forward and evaluate what we learn at all three locations, the cradle, the cross, and the crown. But we can also look forward towards a new year and a new time and new experiences and so forth. And by the way, and like I said, I really don't want to harp on this, but I think it's important to mention it and let it be known. I think this is where a lot of people are making a very colossal mistake in our society today. And I'll mention a couple of things about it, but like I say, I'm not going to harp on it. But there is so much emphasis now. I mean, car companies, advertising, you know, we got to put this old year behind us. So long, 2020. Get out of here. We've had it with you. We're done. You know, wait a minute. God just spent 365 days doing things in order to get us to see him more clearly, or to see our need for him more clearly, you know? And we sit back and go, get out of here, you lousy year. We can't wait till 2021 comes along, and then everything's going to be fine. I'm telling you that that's a big mistake. They're looking for one thing, but they're going to have to find another. It's the same thing with peace. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, but it's not going to be the peace you're looking for. I'm going to bring you a reconciliation with a holy God. That's the peace. Okay? And so if we're just all bent on, you know, that we got to have this new year come in, and as soon as the old year goes out, then all our problems are over. That's where a lot of people are leaning as they talk about New Year's. You didn't hear that before. You didn't hear that last year. You didn't hear it the year before that. You didn't hear it the year before that. I don't care what kind of difficult things came away about on those years, okay? You didn't really hear that. I mean, going back to, the attack on New York and the towers falling and all of that kind of stuff. You got down to the end of that year, I don't remember hearing a whole lot of stuff about, boy, are we glad to get rid of that year, you know? But that's the kind of thing we're hearing from a lot of people about now, and they're in for a shock, I think, when they find out that a year is a year, and God has all kinds of stuff in store. What people consider to be bad, and what people consider to be good. You know, and it's not really bad or good, because God knows what we need. So where's the bad in that? You know, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's fun to go through sicknesses and people pass away and all of that kind of stuff. No, of course not. All right? But let's not blame everything on the devil, you know? I mean, God knows that a lot of things have to happen that are difficult in order for us to learn, in order for us to see him more clearly. So I think a lot of people are headed for a very colossal mistake in thinking on these things in this way, okay? If you were to ask, is there anyone ready for the new year? Probably 99.9% of the people would go for it. Like that car company, you know? We got to get rid of this year. They don't say kiss it goodbye. They might say kick it goodbye or something like that. Just get rid of it so we can get into the new year and then you can buy a new car from us. You know, I mean, kind of missing the point. More than any other New Year's, I think this is true. I don't remember hearing it in recent years. I mean, it's always, yeah, well, that's the old year, and it's represented by the old man, you know, and he's got holding a sign with the old year on it, and we got to get rid of that, and then the baby comes in. Of course, and the baby's got the top hat on, you know, and the ribbon and the sash, and you know, and that's the new year, and there's always been that. I mean, for years there has been that, but such a rancor about how lousy this year has been, and was everything that happened in this year fun? Was it all games? No, of course not. But why don't we learn something from it instead of just, you know, lambasting it all the time? Let's just see that God's trying to wake us up to see our need for him and wake a lot of people up, okay? People are just, well, one thing, they're, you know, back a couple months ago, everybody was fed up with election stuff. Now everybody's fed up with COVID, you know? You're always going to be fed up with something, you know? But when it takes over and makes the whole year bad, I mean, what does it say about families that had new babies in their recent year? You know, and they got they got new family members and so forth. What does it say about that? It's like they have some kind of mistake or something. You know, is that bad? No. You know, the fact is, time is time and years are years, and there's going to be this and there's going to be that. And, you know, and that's why you keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? That's why you keep your eyes on Jesus. And we get so bogged down by COVID and restrictions and pandemics. And, I mean, did you know that there have always been pandemics? I mean, there have always been plagues throughout the world. There have always been massacres. There have always been all kinds of things that are, you know, that we would normally label bad, you know. But listen, if God allowed something to happen, then he's trying to show us something through it, okay? And that's not all bad. All right. Okay. You know, back in the days of Jesus, for example, when he was a baby, and you start off in that new year, okay, there were things lost going into Jesus' first year. I mean, there were kings that made it their business to kill babies. Herod had in mind to kill all those, you know, kill them all. I don't care about any of them. Kill them all. And, you know, we're bound to get Jesus in the process. Just go ahead and kill them all. Well, you know, we got a president and a vice president coming in that has no problem with killing babies. So, you know, it's the way it is. And so we keep our eyes on Jesus. And we look for him to lead us and guide us in these things and take a stand for the truth. Praise God. Emperors are going to displace, literally displace. That's what Caesar Augustus did. Displace the world. Told everybody, go back to your hometown. You know? So why? So that I can keep more accurate records on who's who and where they live, and it's going to be easier to gather taxes that way. So registration in order to come up with new taxes. So he was willing to displace the whole world, literally put them someplace else, to get more tax money. Roman domination swallowed up people's freedom. You know, got to do it this way, got to do it that way. Okay? And the list could go on and on and on. But I think we need to remember that God is the one with the plan. Okay? He's the one with the plan. He's the one that's allowed all kinds of things to happen, you know? And I'm not saying he just sits back and go, oh, look at that person really having a hard time. You know, that's good. I'm not saying that. But let's recognize that our God is in control. All right? It's time to anoint that plan, the plan of God, for success. God's got the plan. And he's not yet done. Praise the Lord. Let me show you what I'm talking about right from the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 2, okay? Beginning with verse 21, okay? Now, this is after the birth. It's only 8 days later, actually. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And God's making... Will you just watch for these things as I point them out to you? Because you may not normally see these things. But that whole statement is in there to prove that they weren't doing their own thing. That Mary and Joseph just weren't off on their own little trip. Okay? This was God's idea. And God, you know, said that his name was going to be Jesus. Right from the start, he said his name was going to be Jesus. So let's not monkey around with what God's plan is, okay? And now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to cause him to stand, to cause him, not literally stand because he's only 8 days old, okay? I mean, maybe they picked him up and bounced him around a little bit or something like that, but to stand, amen? To stand near and before, okay? That's what the word present is all about, okay? And then in parentheses it says, as it is written in the law, notice twice now the law has been mentioned, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This is not something Joseph came up with. This is not something Mary is playing with. No, the law said this from way back in the days of Moses. Every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law. Look at that, three times now, of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And before there was a man and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just, he was devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Praise God. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Praise God. And it was revealed unto him. Not even Simeon came up with his own ideas. Not even Simeon thought he could just do what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. No, it says it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. See, not even Simeon can come into the room where Jesus is going to be without God saying, go there. Amen? This was God's plan, okay? It's not just wherever you happen to wander, okay? And he came by the Spirit. Did you see that? He came by the Spirit. He wasn't doing his own thing. Into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the, and there's the fourth time that the word law is mentioned again. Took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Okay? Depart means to set free. Okay? And to be free fully. To be relieved. To be released. To be dismissed. That's what depart is all about. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. See, they're not making this stuff up. This is not their idea, okay? It's the Spirit of God that is leading the way. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. See, this was God's intention all along. You know, it looked like to the Jews that they were the only ones and, you know, who gives a hoot about these Gentiles? No, it was God's plan all along that Jew and Gentile were going to be allowed into this thing. Praise the Lord. They marveled, they wondered, they admired, and I've told you many times before, so I won't dwell on it, but you got to get beyond your marveling. You know, marvel at first, okay? Marvel at first. Wonder about something. Admire it. But you got to go deeper than that. And I mean all the way to surrender. Amen? And submission. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. This sounds like bad news for Mary. Sounds like bad news for Joseph. Jesus is going to have trouble in his life, you know. But is that bad? Do you see what I'm saying? It's not bad, right? Because what does it do? It brings salvation. Praise God. Amen? It brings salvation, so how is that bad? Right? Yea, a sword. Another parenthesis. Did you see this? Verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Pierce means to traverse, as in a journey, going from point A to point B, to pierce through, okay? Pierce through your own soul also. This is God's plan, okay? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was also one named Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. And she was old. This lady was old. And had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She was a widow. Now, that's a long time to be a widow. So early on when she was young, if I'm reading this correctly, that she was married, and that's when, before she was married then, she was a virgin. And that 7 years passed, and now she's been a widow all of this time since. So 84 years. And she didn't depart from the temple. Praise God. You know, Simeon said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, in a right relationship with God, in purity, in holiness," right? Well, you get down to Anna and it says that she didn't depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She literally lived in one of the apartments that was in the temple. They had little apartments set up for people that worked in the temple to live, kind of like a parsonage, okay? But just a room, I'm sure. And she coming in that instant, she didn't wait and wonder what she ought to be doing. No, in that instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for what? Redemption in Jerusalem. Redemption, a freeing, okay? A freeing, a deliverance, an act. Praise God. And I don't mean act like faking it. No, I mean like an act of deliverance. Praise God. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, fifth time I believe that was mentioned, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Proof positive, this is God's plan. Amen. This was going to be God's idea all the way. Hallelujah. And if somebody pipes up and says, "Well, you know, I had an idea. I guess I could. If she's, you know, not been faithful, I could go ahead and divorce her privately. And then that whole thing would be over." And God says, "No. Don't be fearful to take her to be your wife. Everything's okay." The other day on Christmas Eve, we mentioned that Christmas was not just meant to be a date on the calendar. Do you remember that? We put this in the paper this last week. Billy Graham once wrote, "Christmas is not just a date on the calendar. It is," and I read this Thursday too, so it's going to sound familiar. "It is not just an annual holiday. Christmas tells us that at a specific time and at a specific place, a specific person was born. And that person was, in the words of the ancient Christian creed, God of God and light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made." That's just part of the Nicene Creed, 325 AD. Yes, heaven has come to our rescue, and that God has not left us to stumble on earth's pathway. What a wonderful, glorious hope we have because of that first Christmas. Do you see what I meant Thursday night when I said we're going to be watching this family come to Christmas? And then we had quotes by, you know, Billy and Ruth and, I don't think Franklin was in there, but Ann Graham Lotz was in there and several people from the family. And then, as I understand it, I haven't researched it a little bit, but you know, Franklin Graham, of course, was a son, but there's another son. And then Jim and Debbie just gave me a book. Now, this was so amazing. And just the very night that I'm mentioning about Billy Graham and his family coming to Christmas, and I don't mean it was their first Christmas. I mean, they understood that Christmas was real. They understood that it had a purpose, and it was God's plan. Amen? Gave me a book by Billy Graham's grandson. By Billy Graham's grandson. And on this very same night, I used all of those illustrations, all of those quotes about that family. And now there's a book, by the grandson, so Franklin Graham's son, actually. What a wonderful, glorious hope we have because of that first Christmas. Amen. Praise God. Many today, I think, are looking to put down this year for all of the difficult things. But I think we're missing the point with that. I think we are. And I'm not saying we turn right around and go, oh, this is fun. You know, no. But I think we also need to recognize that God's got something he's trying to say through all these things that we've been through. Remember, difficult does not mean evil or bad. God does a lot of difficult things. It doesn't mean evil or bad. Okay? I mean, people interpret it that way, but I'm telling you, that's why we got to get God's idea on this. God can use it all. I think that one, I mentioned about this one car company that's advertising about, you know, the year and can't wait for the year 2021 and so forth. I think they even called it the year from hell. You missed it. You missed what God is doing. You know, what about all of the tough stuff that Israel had to go through the years? The tough stuff. If they just chalked it all off to the year from hell, you know, you would sure miss a lot of what God's trying to speak. All right, I'm skipping over just a couple of things here because I've already mentioned it. We need to give thanks to God for all of life, for all the things that happen. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, was it fun to lose my wife this past week or this past year? Of course not. Of course not. But I do know, and this is something that I've just come to latch on to. We've heard it, we've said it, we believe it. But, you know, I mean, to really latch on to is it was her time. It was her time. And it wasn't mine. So he's got other stuff for us to do. He's got more things for me to do. I don't know if we'll ever get back into the nursing home. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but I hope we do. I know God's got more for us. Okay? Praise the Lord. I think we're making a pretty big mistake if we don't see that this past year has been from God. As all years are, Satan doesn't give time. God gives time. Time for what? Time to grow closer to the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So let's just see things accurately. Let's see things. Like I said, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that all these very tough things are fun. And I can't wait for it to happen again. And all of that kind of stuff. But let's understand that we could learn from it too, you know. If we had to, if we wanted to, we could learn from everything that God puts before us. So, anybody ready for a new year? Well, don't think it's going to be a whole lot better than the last. This stuff's going to continue for a while and maybe a lot longer. I don't know. And besides that, that's not the point. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the point. Amen? He's the point. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is the last Sunday of this year. And Jim, he's going to bring us into the new year next week. A lot of times we did that in reverse, you know, because I'd go to Michigan like right after Christmas Eve. And then, you know, he would preach then. And then, so we're doing it reverse. And so he gets to bring in the new year, so to speak. And I'm stuck with the old. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's where people are missing the point. It's not a matter of being stuck with the old. Praise God. Well, let's just keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the most important thing, I think. And not only keep our eyes on him, but be more than willing and actually do it, to do as he says. To do as he says when he says. Okay? That's really where it's all headed. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, dear God. Lord, a lot of people would say we're ready for a new year. But I think a lot of them are just figuring it's going to be a whole lot better than this last one. And I think there's still going to be a lot of things to deal with. So I pray, dear God, that you would truly speak into our hearts, dear God, of your intention to draw us closer and closer to you in the midst of the difficult things that come our way and the easy things that come our way. We have to see you in all things, dear God. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We love you. We need you, dear God. And you are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.